Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquich. We are your hosts for this weekend show. As always, also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Cortland Economics Report. It was another busy week because of the Fed meeting and the volatility that we are seeing really in every market. And unfortunately for the precious metals investors, what looks like another week of a little bit of disappointment. We are kicking off the show with Axel Merk, President and Chief Investment Officer at Merk Investments. Axel, since the Fed met this week, let's start there. We really didn't hear too much new out of the Fed other than, look, they are confirming that it seems like March will be the start of their rate hiking cycle. The unwind of QE would have been done by that time, and then a lot of questions around some sort of balance sheet unwinding or quantitative tightening. We don't know when that's going to happen, and quite frankly, I think the Fed just wants to see how the markets react to the start of rate hikes. Axel, what's your thought broadly this year as it comes to the Fed and what they keep telling us is going to be a rate hiking cycle starting in March?
Well, great to be with you again. And the first couple of hours answering your question, I'll focus on one aspect and then I'll go to the next one. Let me try to take a step back. Overall, the Fed was caught behind the curve. At the latest last August, they should have realized that inflation is running high. They apparently noodled around with that concept in December, which became more clear when they published their so-called minutes. And now they're going to continue to print money, and but now they're quote-unquote humble and might hike rates. And so historically, when you're faced with inflation, you don't fix it with a salami tactic. You kind of you go out front, which means in this August, December, or maybe with intraday, they should have done something, certainly not continue to print money. And what happens, some people say, oh, no, they have caught up and they're all hawkish and all that. But basically, the implication is what you see. You see volatility because the Fed, as it's trying to play catch-up, that the markets will throw a fit. And we're going to go back and forth. And the proof is, of course, going to be in the pudding, which nobody knows what that pudding is going to look like. And so we see gyrations in the market. And that's probably what we will continue to see. Clearly, when you're faced with new information, you shouldn't start a debating club. You should act. And you reference a balance sheet. I mean, that's a prime example of a debating club. They got burned last time when they reduced the balance sheet. And so they decided to just not look at it. And the so-called principles that they now published, it's really they were scrambling to decide what to do. They decided, all right, we got to hike rates. That's what you have to do. And then they decided, well, we got to put out something. And so they put out some platitudes on what they're going to do with the balance sheet. But they haven't really thought about it. And so in the meantime, Powell, during his press conference, was repeating his talking points. And scared the markets into thinking he's going to be super hawkish. And nobody really knows, including the Fed, what they'll actually be doing.
Well, Axel, as they embark on this rate hiking cycle, and it will be a series of hikes, some people are saying 3 to 4, J.P. Morgan with Jamie Dimon saying 8, who knows what it'll actually be. But is there going to be a point where people realize, even the generalists realize, that even if they start hiking these rates, they're not anywhere close to where the inflation rates are running. With CPI running at 7% for December, even if it ratchets down a little bit, can they really stop inflation or squash it down by doing 0.25% hikes, even if they do 4, 5, 6 of them?
Well, it depends on where you're philosophically or politically on this. First of all, as we're through Powell's press conference, there was one additional rate hike priced in, and so the market at the end of the press conference priced in 5 rate hikes for this year. That's what the market says. So whatever that may be. But overall, yes, I mean, everybody is kind of thinking, well, what can they do? It remains to be seen, right? From a perspective of what needs to be done. Again, you don't amputate a leg by starting with a toe, right? You amputate the leg, so you should go out in front of it. What the Fed is doing is saying, well, if inflation persists, and we think inflation is going to be no problem, then we'll just have to keep raising rates. And to those who are critical of that, including me, saying, well, no, that is a very high-risk approach. What you do is you get out up front on the problem. You don't just rely on the reputation of the Fed to fight inflation. You actually do it by showing some action. And I know that a lot of your listeners will say, well, what reputation of the Fed? When I talk about reputation of the Fed, I look at what the market is thinking. So in the market, for example, you can – yeah, with some fancy math, you can say what inflation expectations are 5 years out, 10 years out. Well, nobody has a clue what inflation saw 10 years out. But what the market says is that they believe the Fed will get this under control. And you and I may have our doubts. What surprised me, if there was something that was surprising at the meeting, is that there weren't any dissents. We have the most hawkish FOMC members that are voting this year in many, many years. And so I would have thought that Esther George, a very hawkish person who was not afraid to be outspoken, would have dissented, maybe two others. Nobody did. And so the question to me really is, what did Powell promise them? And I think this dance around flexibility and being humble and with the market and saying, oh, they could actually do more is what it got to have these hawkish Fed member back off. And so that's in the context of there is quote unquote confidence that the Fed will do the right thing. Now, I cannot build my investment strategy based on hopes that things will work out fine. I happen to think this is a very dangerous road that they're on. And so I happen to think that, to answer your question, inflation is a process. And once inflation is high, people will try to raise prices no matter what. I agree that supply chain issues will eventually be resolved. The fiscal stimulus is a bit less. The year-over-year comparisons are more difficult. But if I look at the sort of wages I just pay in my own firm these days, if I look at the price hikes I see everywhere, I don't see that just vanish because the Fed has some hawkish talk.
So, Axel, I understand that the Fed is concentrating on inflation because inflation has run a lot hotter than they expected last year. What about the markets? How do those play into the Fed's outlook, too? Because we've seen the Fed backtrack on policy due to market weakness. And, boy, oh, boy, this month, the start of this year already has been very volatile for really every sector.
Well, as much as we all like to believe that the Fed focuses on the equity markets, what they really focus on is what they call our financial conditions, which means the spreads of risk assets in the fixed income market, including junk bonds, over treasuries. And so that happens to be correlated with the S&P 500. But and of course, the more hawkish tone ever since the FOMC minutes have come out have increase those spreads, those financial conditions have quote-unquote tightened, but just a tad. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why the Fed thinks they have all the time in the world, because they've already talked financial conditions a little bit tighter, which is, of course, cheaper, in quotes, than hiking rates. It's, of course, always a very fine line. And with all this credit we have in the economy and the leverage we have everywhere, it's, of course, very, very possible that there are spillover effects to the S&P 500 and other markets that then can lead to quite a severe downdraft. And if that were to happen, odds are that the availability of credit to these over-leveraged businesses is drying up. And that's when the Fed would get concerned. But as long as it's, quote-unquote, just the S&P 500 that's plunging, that's not going to sway them.
All right, Axel, we have to wrap it up here for the radio station, but we're having you back on next segment, so everybody stick around. We are going to be right back with Axel Merck.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Axel Merck, President and Chief Investment Officer at Merck Investments. Axel, I ended the last segment with our question, so I'm going to throw it over to Chad to kick off this second segment. Chad, take it away, buddy.
Well, Axel, just another question that I don't think a lot of mainstream media addresses, and that is with the Fed finishing their tapering and pulling back what they were doing of $120 billion a month of bond purchases down to zero in just two more months now. Do you think there's going to be a point where the bond market has a reaction to this, where there's not enough people to buy the bonds when the United States put theirs up for auction? And could that be a cause of a great rotation out of bonds, you know, looking to other sectors? Could some of that money come into the general equities to help, I guess, buoy them? Could some of that come into precious metals? Will they go into cryptos? Do you think there'll be a migration out of bonds as this unfolds?
Well, sure. I mean, bonds have become far riskier, so to speak. They're always riskier, but the Federal Reserve's job is take out the perceived risk. But regarding the balance sheet, one thing to keep in mind, so the Fed will phase out its purchases in March, and then hasn't announced yet, has to get its act together, who knows when, might start reducing the balance sheet. And many people, including us, think that if, and that's a big if, and when they start to get to that, it might be as much as $80 billion, $85 billion a month in reduction. And they can do that mostly because the maturity of the portfolio they have in treasuries is very short. Now, that said, we have a European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan that keeps printing. And incidentally, that's just about in that order of magnitude. And so we're not exactly taking liquidity out of the market. We shouldn't think of the U.S. as an isolated space. As long as you have free capital flows, and by the way, that's why we don't include what the Chinese are doing, but it's the big three central banks, a treasury is kind of interchangeable with a bond. Now, obviously, currency risk and so forth, and it's different governments and different types of risk, but those are in their respective countries considered to be the safe assets. And so there will be, if the Europeans are printing money and the Japanese continue to print money, it's not like we are withdrawing the liquidity left and right. And so these are all things on the margin that have an impact. Now, where will the money move? First of all, some money will just evaporate because when leverage is reduced, which is one of the side effects of tightening conditions, the money just is gone. It's not just it's moving from A to B. And then where it goes, well, the meme stocks haven't had much money. I've called it the funny money season is over. And so, yeah, kind of that quote-unquote bubble, so to speak, maybe burst for good. And whether or not it moves to something like gold, well, the way I look at gold is that gold obviously doesn't pay you a dividend. And so I look at it whether on a real basis it is attractive to hold cash. And there I'm looking less at the short-term rates, but something like a 10-year yield. And as we're talking, we are just under minus 60 basis points on 10-year real yield. So you're paying the government, so to speak, 60 basis points, 0.6% a year for the on-out holding treasuries. And that's up from about minus 1% just a few weeks ago. But as long as those real yields continue to be somewhat negative, there is really very little incentive to hold treasuries, and something like gold does well. The other thing that gold historically has done, and we've seen in up to today we're speaking here pretty much, but gold had been a good diversifier in much of January to buffer the draft. And I think that role it continues to have. Now, clearly, if the Fed were to do a Volcker on us, then you will get compensated on cash. And gold will be no good. If you think that the Fed is going to, quote-unquote, overdo it and kill the economy, well, guess what? Then they have to cut rates again, right? And where do they go, right? And so it's really, it's as I said in the beginning, we'll see volatility. You kind of want to wake up your mind how this is going to play out and then stick to that plan and cross-check it periodically, but not get jolted around every 5 minutes, and because that would probably be a sure way of losing money.
So, Axel, let's focus a little bit more on gold, because there are a lot of gold investors that are saying, look, inflation is high and keeps on rising. Real yields continue to be negative, and gold continues to correct. It's a 16-plus month correction right now in an environment where the gold investors have been told this should be the perfect environment. Now, I realize that there are some other factors at play here, and it's more about the direction in terms of where rates or real rates are going. Plus, we do have to understand that the Fed is starting a rate hiking cycle. No one knows how long that is going to take. But what do you have to say to those gold investors that are saying, look, gold should be doing better. I'm getting tired of this sector because gold has continued to underperform practically everything.
Well, let's start with the quote-unquote good news. Some folks who have been quote-unquote tired of gold have chased the meme stocks and other things. And in some ways, that's one of the factors that has reduced the volatility in the sector somewhat because we don't have the short-term speculator there quite as much. That said, yes, I mean, investing is all about surviving the frustration you have with whatever the market throws at you. Any gold investor is quite familiar with that. Gold is the type of asset that with hindsight, it was always good to hold it, and you never quite know why you hold it for tomorrow, right? And I don't think that has changed much. It's a, and if you'd ask me what the price of gold is going to be tomorrow, I don't know. Where you ask me where it's going to be in 5 years, well, I think the Fed will have been through the tightening and we may be back on the easing cycle, and late cycle gold tends to do well. Does it mean it can't get whacked around in between? Yeah, of course it can. And if you go to the gold miners, the large companies have the best balance sheet they've had in years, which is good on the one hand, but on the other hand, it reduces the leverage to the price of gold, and that's part of the reason why they hadn't rallied quite as much. We believe that these big companies need to go out and acquire additional resources so that they have to replenish the gold, so to speak, that they're getting out of the ground. And so we see a lot of opportunity there, but yes, that's a very, very volatile sector, and a sector where these exploration companies, they need to access the markets once a year, once every other year, and if financial conditions are tight, that's obviously a significant risk in a rising rate environment. So this has always been a volatile space. I like it, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing in an environment where the Fed hasn't really made up its mind on many things. And keep in mind, as much as you may love or hate the Fed, they do have the bazooka at the end of the day.
All right, Axel, we're wrapping it up here. It's always interesting hearing your take on the markets. I enjoy reading over all of your work, and quite frankly, I really appreciate you taking some time to share your thoughts on this year and the Fed and the whole situation that it's not just the U.S. is in right now. But boy, oh boy, this year is sure going to be interesting. Axel, thank you, as always, for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and I look forward to bringing you back on the show next month.
Thank you, and follow me on Twitter at Axel Merck. Thanks, man. Take care.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Ivarroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
What could become what forecasters call a bomb cyclone is heading up the East Coast. It is hitting a lot of Northeast cities with heavy snow and very high winds, but it is really going to pelt the New England area, especially southeastern Massachusetts. Last night in Boston, people were having some fun because they know they're going to be snowed in.
I remember the storm in 2015, and it was wild, so we stocked up on in groceries, made a reservation, and we're out tonight to kind of get it over with before the storm hits.
And it's good that she got it out of her system, because the order today from Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker:
stay off the roads.
One forecaster telling USA Radio News that he would best describe what this is going to be like off the Massachusetts coast as a hurricane blizzard. This is USA Radio News. Dr. Anthony Fauci saying he is cautiously optimistic that the overall COVID-19 trend is starting to come down across the U.S. Though while the Omicron variant surge seems to be subsiding, there's a new variant on the scene. And USA Radio's Tim Berg spoke with a medical expert about it.
It's officially called Omicron BA.2. And this week, cases were detected in California, Texas, and Washington. As far as how these new variants are detected, Dr. Diane Hess tells USA Radio News:
frequently, probably less than 20% of all COVID tests have variant testing done. Those are tests that are done in the state health department level usually. Even physicians who are treating patients, like critical care patients in the hospital, they don't know what variant their patients have. Usually, if you find out the variant, it'll probably be weeks later, because it's just not a test that's done commonly, and it's not done in the hospital often.
I'm Tim Berg,
and this is USA Radio News.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Axel Merck. We're going to be continuing to focus on the Fed statement and even more so the market reaction, as we are now chatting with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. You can also follow Mike on Twitter at Real Mike Larson. Now, Mike, I know we're going to focus a lot on the weakness in the U.S. equity markets, especially after the, statement by the Fed this week. But overall, markets have been weak all year, and some of the high-flying stocks, some of the meme stocks, it's not out of the question to say that these stocks are crashing. Again, though, let's start with the Fed statement. Anything surprise you out of that Fed statement, and what caught your eye the most?
Yeah, Jay Powell, that really with the data the way it's been, with the economic backdrop and sort of political pressure and conundrum that he's facing there, really has no choice but to talk tough, right? And that's what he did at this most recent Fed meeting. I mean, he's really, you know, the Main Street is getting fed up with inflation. That's, gains of inflation and prices are outpacing wage and salary gains. You get big, good wage figures and you think it's great, but when your personal expenses go up even more than your wages, you're losing money on a real basis. So Main Street's getting pinched by inflation. The numbers have gotten so big and so bad. I mean, the Fed looked ridiculous going out there with this narrative that it's transitory and it doesn't matter. I mean, it finally got to the point where, you just got to say the emperor has no clothes. And so to regain some market credibility and some, policymaking credibility, the Fed had to step up and kind of acknowledge what's going on. And Powell talked pretty tough. I mean, at this meeting, he had the opportunity to sort of shoot down the building bearish sentiment that we saw in January, and we can talk about the markets in a minute. But it's clear that the markets were scared of the bad inflation data and were scared of the Fed. They thought maybe they might throw him a bone, but that's not what happened. Powell basically refused to rule out things like 50 basis point hikes, which the Fed hasn't done in ages. I mean, it's always moved in the last couple of decades in these sort of telegraphed 25 basis point hikes that they laid the groundwork for ahead of time. He also didn't really, sort of push against the idea that the balance sheet is enormous and that the balance sheet could be scaled back pretty aggressively. So not just shrinking the balance sheet, the Fed's balance sheet, but letting old bonds roll off and not replacing them with new bonds, but actually selling down its portfolio of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. So, the game and the messaging was, we're going to hike pretty soon, probably starting at the March meeting. We can't promise you it won't be aggressive hikes, meaning more frequent than in the past and potentially larger than in the past. And on top of that, we might pull back the support in terms of, asset buying and actually start shrinking the balance sheet much faster than we did in the last economic cycle. So that is sort of a double or triple whammy, depending on how you want to count it. And the markets have reacted. I mean, the fears that the equity markets were reflecting in the first couple weeks of January were validated by the Fed. And then on top of that, really the bond market reaction to me is what's even more interesting, because in the wake of the Powell comments, initially all yields started moving higher as he started talking tough and the statement came out and everything. But then what ended up happening by the end of the day is that short-term yields, those most closely affected by the Fed or most closely controlled by the Fed, things like the 2-year note yield and everything shorter term than that, held the lion's share of their gains. But long-term yields, yields on 10-year and especially 30-year treasury bonds did not. The 30-year treasury bond began giving back its gains pretty sharply. And then in the next day, bond yields actually collapsed at the long end of the curve. So what you're seeing, because short end yields are higher or holding up most of their post-Fed gains, the long-term yields, particularly on 30s, are not, you're ending up with a situation where the yield curve is flattening dramatically. And that's, the yield curve is a good harbinger when it inverts of recession. We're nowhere near inversion yet, but we are at a point where, all the way back to last March, April, that's when the curve stopped steepening. The bond market at the long end has never really believed this is a great new world where the, growth is going to be great, where, we don't have this debt overhang, we don't have an aging population, we don't have structural issues, it's going to be wonderful, we're going to get back to the yields of yesteryear, as I call them. The bond market at the long end hasn't really believed that for a long time, and the Fed is only making that worse now. So you sum it all up and you look at bond market, stock market, weak parts of the stock market that we can talk about, the sort of really junky tech stocks. It all is pointing to, at the very least, sort of a yellow flag, yellow light environment. This isn't necessarily a, we're right on the cusp of a huge bear market yet. Who knows if that'll end up happening. But we are getting a lot of warning signs in a lot of different places that this isn't the same kind of, fear-free, excess liquidity, buy almost anything and make money kind of market that we had for quite a long time.
Well, Mike, it is interesting how much turbulence there's already been before the rate hike cycle even gets started. And the Fed, at their own admission, has said that when they put these policies in place and when they take these actions, when they start hiking these rates, and if they do reduce the balance sheet, the effects of those take 6 to 9 months to even show up. So while you mentioned it's a yellow light and not a red light yet for a recession, if the yield curve is flattening, if energy rates have doubled, that's another harbinger of a recession. If there's this rate hiking cycle that's going to start into slowing growth, could we be setting up for a much more turbulent year than people expect? And would that cause the Fed to backpedal if it gets too turbulent?
Yeah, I guess we'll start with the part where we talk about some of these stocks that, that behind the scenes have really been falling apart. I mean, your listeners and you guys know the names, the ARK technology, ARK Innovation kind of names, Cathie Wood, these money-losing, very speculative, someday we're going to make a profit at inventing a new business, whether it's, spaceflight tourism or EVs or all this other stuff. That whole contingent of the stock market, it's basically like, if you go back to the late 1990s, it's basically like the CMGIs and the DrCoop.com and InfoSpace and all those, junk NASDAQ .com companies that came out back then that didn't make any money, but they told a new and exciting story. Valuations for a while didn't matter, and that's all anybody wanted to own. And, those stocks went up 300%, 400%, 500%, 600%. But then when they started falling, there was no valuation floor. There was no support. Once you pulled the rug out from under them, they kept falling, month in and month out to the point where, half of these names, all these popular IPOs went bankrupt, and the ones that didn't were down 80-90%. Because like the ARK ETF, I mean, it topped out at the beginning of 2021. It peaked all the way back in February of last year. You know, that was around 160 bucks. Now it's going for $67. You look at something like a Robinhood. I mean, this is, you know, the brokerage app that everybody was trading on. All the people buying and selling meme stocks and trading options they didn't really understand. You know, a couple of days after that stock IPO, it hit 85 bucks. This week it traded under $10 a share after lousy earnings. So, you know, these aren't small declines. And you can go right down the list. You can talk about AMC, the movie theater, you know, the ultimate meme stock. It topped $70, you know, back in June. It was just trading at 14 and a half bucks this week. These are breathtaking declines. These are, you know, at the periphery, the junkiest of the junk stocks, the riskiest of the money-losing companies that people were all so excited about and dogpiling into. Those ones are getting massacred. I mean, it is truly a crash in that part of the market. Now, it hasn't and hadn't mattered to the broader averages much for a while. I mean, you know, you didn't see the broader averages suffering, and some of the mega cap tech companies even were holding up very well. If you look at the QQQs, if you look at, you know, the Amazons of the world and Netflix and so on, they didn't have any problems, even as some of the stuff was going on at the periphery. But, you know, you're seeing it migrate back to that core. I mean, everybody loved the FANG names. Netflix is the N in FANG. It was trading for 700 bucks not too long ago. After lousy earnings, it was all the way down to about, you know, just over 350. So basically got cut in half in a couple of months. Amazon, you know, everybody owns it. It's in portfolios all over. It's trading right around now at the same price it traded in June of 2020. So you literally haven't made a penny a share in the most popular retail slash cloud computing company since June of 2020. So again, you can go down the list. That kind of stuff's going on. With the Fed that's getting, you know, less friendly, with the Fed that's kind of backed into a corner by this political pressure, this lousy inflation data, it's, you know, it's not the same supportive regime where the Fed was guaranteed to be Wall Street's friend and would do almost anything it could to support the stock market. It really can't pull that off anymore given what's going on.
All right, Mike, we have to wrap this up for the radio stations, but everybody listening on the radio, you can visit our website, kereport.com, click on that weekend show posting, and listen to the full interview with Mike. Everybody stick around, we're going to be right back to wrap up the weekend edition.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are going to continue our focus on the U.S. equity markets broadly as we are now chatting with T.G. Watkins, Director of Stocks over at Simpler Trading, also editor at the Profit Pilot website. Before we get into some of the market commentary, T.G. is also hosting a free webinar on Monday after the market close, more of a market update to bring everybody up to speed on how he's trading these markets. And quite frankly, the markets have been very volatile and fairly weak, especially when you dive down into individual stocks. That now is an important time, I think, to be active with your portfolio. TG, before we get into some of the market commentary, give us a little background on this market update, why you're doing it now, and what you're hoping to pass along in terms of information to everybody that tunes in.
Yeah, basically, so what we're going to be talking about, kind of the macro of what's going on here. We know that the Fed is taking the punch bowl away from the party. They're going to be raising rates. They're going to be quantitative tightening. They're going to be basically trying to remove themselves a little bit to so they can free up their toolbox for the next emergency that they need to use things for. And the market's having to reevaluate all this stuff and reprice it. And then we've also seen that, you know, the names that really went crazy in 2022 were extremely high PE names and names that really didn't have any revenue. So right now the play is, if you do need to find any safety, it's basically in, you know, really old school consumer staples and oil. Markets really need to figure out where they can go because, by law, investing companies need to be 80-90% invested at all times. So they got to put money someplace. There's got to be a place to hide out. It may not be perfect. They might still lose money, but at least it's a way to say, hey, we only lost 5% as opposed to 45%. So there are opportunities. But if you can also then short, we are seeing a lot of opportunities here because a lot of these growth stocks are just deflating. I mean, it's crazy to see the number of names that are basically deflating back to where they began before 2020, you know, before the Fed started the thing, before COVID happened. So at least for me, it's kind of been like shooting fish in a barrel on the short side, which is fantastic. And I think we're only just now seeing the beginning of it. Now, I don't think this is going to last forever, of course, but I do think that this is going to be fairly fast. It's going to last a few months, you know, something like that, and it's going to be aggressive. And so if you guys can be trading to the short side, there are opportunities. You know, maybe if you're even looking at inverse ETFs, if you need to trade the indexes the other direction and say your Roth IRA that you can only go long in, you know, there are opportunities to take advantage of this market since clearly the trend is to the downside right now.
Well, everybody, definitely check out the Profit Pilot website, which we'll include a link to in this, and check out that event with TG because he is a great coach as to getting you through the markets and how he's trading the markets, what he's seeing. So, TG, you mentioned there some of the weaknesses and some of the shorting opportunities. You know, what kind of technical indicators are you looking for in some of these, I guess, growth stocks that are continuing to sell down? What are you looking for in the charts that gives you the impetus to say, hey, this thing's going lower?
Well, fortunately, the trend is pretty impressive. The trend on the downside right now is just about as good as the trend was on the upside in 2020. That's how good, at least to the downside, the trading environment is right now. I mean, we're seeing names that are following moving averages very, very cleanly. They are going basically straight down at something like a 45 or 60 degree angle, and they're doing it with speed. And any of the bounces are up into resistance and give you really clean places to short. I mean, this is a terrific shorting market as we were having a terrific long market in 2020. It's just turned it upside down at this point. You know, and I'm seeing that there are a lot of names, as I said, are going back to where they came from, something like Plug or Blink. You know, they had an area of consolidation, and then once they broke that major area of consolidation, there is very little price congestion or price areas, price level, anything like that to really hold price and act as circuit breakers or act as tree branches on the way back down because these names, and you could look at the IWM, the same thing, they went up so fast. There are no areas of sideways movement. There's no flagging along the way. I mean, 2020 was straight up. And so, well, think about it on the other way down. When you start going down, where are the levels of buyers? Where are the levels of tree branches or circuit breakers? As I say, price consolidation, previous price consolidation, where, you know, it's going to be a little thick for price to get through. It's like, that's not happening because it went straight up and then it's going straight down because there's no level of support. And so if you can kind of find these right names and take a look at them, just start search around the market and you'll see what I'm talking about. These names are just going straight back down to where they began.
So, TG, is there a certain sector that you find that you're finding more shorting opportunities, or are you seeing these opportunities across the board?
A lot of it is across the board, which makes it a little bit concerning about how pervasive this is throughout the market. I mean, it's not just really a sector. I mean, we're really seeing a lot of stuff get hit. Yeah, just a lot of stuff is getting hit in general. But take a look at anything that did really well in 2020, and it's probably going to get unwound right now, and it has been for the last few months. And specifically anything that just has either high PE or is tech-based or has a lot of debt because they have to service that debt, and now interest rates are going up, so that's they're going to have to reevaluate that as far as their, you know, the price of their stock and their valuations. And then companies that really aren't turning a profit yet. You know, companies that are still just ideas or moonshots or like, yeah, we'll be profitable someday. And now that interest rates are going up and the free money or easy money is getting turned around and turned off, like it's all kind of coming right back down. So really the things that you can think of as high risk, they're the ones getting targeted. And that's why, you know, right now the play, at least for the long side, if you're willing to take it, is going to be in defensive type names. Think about names that have been around for 100 plus years or so, that have seen the ups and downs of this market, have gone through bull and bear markets, have gone through interest rates. I mean, you name it, they're still here, they're still surviving, and that's where money's going because they're like, hey, we just need to hide out for a while and figure out a place that this company's not going to implode while these things change.
Do you think that we'll see a rotation over into some more of the safe havens? But, you know, we've seen the dollar going up. We've seen bonds getting a bid. I'd be curious to get your thoughts on gold, whether you think it could get a precious metals safe haven bid or what your outlook is on the precious metals sector.
Yeah, you know, actually, I exited gold yesterday. I was in a couple different positions, and it was a loss. So, you know, things looked really good. It was kind of teasing around. But basically, when the Fed came out and said, yep, we're going to raise interest rates, I think two things happened. One, the dollar shot up, and so dollar up, commodities or precious metals down, so that put pressure on it. And then two, If investors know that interest rates are going to be going up and then they can actually put their money in fixed products that are starting to earn better interest, well, then they don't need to take the risk on precious metals, which is usually the defensive thing, or where they're like, okay, you know, I need to go into gold in order to make any kind of growth because I can't make safe growth anywhere else. So I think those two things have kind of shot gold. And, you know, I was looking at GFI, which was one of the best looking gold stocks, and it got hit hard with volume. I mean, it looked like it was doing just fine, and then it reversed the other way. So I'm completely out of gold. It didn't work. We were in it for, well, I was in GDX for a few weeks. It kept bumping around the bottom for a little bit, and now it's just rolled over and failed. So we took our stop loss on that and totally moving on from gold or any precious metals.
TG, final question here. So much of the sell-off is due to the Fed taking away the punch bowl. How much downside do you think the Fed will withstand before they switch course? And do you think when the Fed switches course, or if they switch course, it will be enough to immediately get a buy into the markets?
You know, that's pretty funny. It reminds me a lot of 2018, right? Because anybody who was trading this during 2018, the Fed was like, yeah, okay, we're going to start normalizing. We're going to reduce the balance sheet. We're going to raise interest rates. And the market was like, uh-uh. And so it started rolling over. And this, honestly, the S&P's move right now looks like the beginning of 2018. Back in 2018, the Fed already had raised rates a fair amount. And right now, they haven't raised them at all. They're only going to. So I think that they are really painting themselves into a corner, and I think that the market is probably going to have to just suck it up and deal at some point, because they haven't even raised rates, and if this lasts the next 2, 3, 4 months, they won't even have gotten the first rate in, or will have just gotten one in, and so they can't reverse course on that. I literally don't know what they can do. The market's just recalibrating right now, at least for now, and we'll have to see if this goes back up. I would imagine it will, because usually after a pretty sharp correction, the market does like to rally, and we're in a midterm elections year, which is also historically weak.
We are starting, finally, to see some money rotate out of these markets. We don't know how low it's going to go, but I find it very interesting that you are playing the short side, and sounds like not just on a short-term basis either. Again, TG is hosting that free webinar on Monday. Visit his website, The Profit Pilot. We will link that in the weekend show posting. And TG, really appreciate your time. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. Again, go back through our website, listen to the market commentary and company updates we recorded throughout the week. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlett Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.